Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Bible Gateway is a website that has a lot of good resources for people who want information about the Bible. They have dozens of versions of the Bible in dozens of languages that are available. To celebrate their 25th anniversary, they recently published a graphic on the extremes of the Bible. I went over some of these with the Sunday school class this morning. Some of those are repeats, some of those are not. What's the longest book in the Bible? Psalms. 150 chapters. What book has the most words of the original language? Jeremiah. 33,000 Hebrew words in that book. We talked about having to write 33,000 words by hand would take a long time. The longest book in the New Testament is the book of Luke. That one kind of surprised me. The shortest book in the Bible is 2 John. It has just 13 verses and less than 300 words. Our epistle lesson for today comes from the book of Philemon, which I thought might be the shortest book in the Bible, which is what caused me to go searching for that information. It turns out Philemon is not the shortest book in the Bible. It's not even the shortest book in the New Testament. But in this short book in the Bible is a very important lesson for us today. Philemon had a bondservant whose name was Onesimus. Onesimus was a bondservant and he ran away. And we think, based on what we read, that he probably took some of Philemon's money with him. Now, somehow Onesimus, in his traveling, comes across Paul over in Rome. And Paul converts him to Christianity. And as a result of that conversion, Onesimus confesses his crime, and Paul writes to Philemon saying, "Will you please take this bondservant back?" In those days, it would have been acceptable for Philemon to badly punish Onesimus, to perhaps even put him to death. And yet here we have Paul saying, I want you to bring him back. I want you to bring him back not as a bondservant, but as a fellow Christian, as a brother. And Paul does that in a typically Pauline way. Hear how he says that. Accordingly, Paul says, "Though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you." Paul could have said, "You will take him back. You will accept him as a brother in Christ." But that's not the approach that Paul took. He wants Philemon to take him back, to forgive him, not to punish him, and accept him now as a brother in Christ. And further, Paul says, "I will repay anything that he stole from you." In 18, we read, "If he, Onesimus, has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account." Paul was willing to pay the entire debt for Onesimus's freedom. So, what's the connection here between a nice little story that happened a couple of thousand years ago and us sitting here today at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in 2019? Let me see if I can put some support under this and give some explanation as to how it fits for us today. Consider this. While we may not intentionally run away from God, we might inadvertently do that. We might drift away from God Sometimes we have a lot of inattention to our faith. We don't pay attention to it. We might miss services for several weeks in a row. We might get out of the habit of going to church. We might have a lackadaisical attitude, and we might easily find ourselves off of that narrow path that we heard about last Sunday. Let me give you an illustration of how that might happen. As I mentioned in last week's sermon, I've been doing some walking lately, and after you walk the same route day after day, it gets kind of old, and so I thought, well, let me take a look at the local area and see if there's not a better route or a different route at least that I can follow so that I can at least look at something different. So I looked at Google Maps and I picked a route that was from our house east over toward the golf course around some of the streets that are adjacent to the golf course, and that led me back. That new distance was about the right distance for me. It had some significant inclines, some hills to walk up and down, which gave me a good workout. And being adjacent to the golf course, those houses were really nice and pretty to look at and to admire and wonder who had to clean all those houses. So the first day that I decided to take that route, I did so. It was a nice, bright, sunny day, and the birds were singing, and the sun was in the east, and I followed that route, and it was a very nice route. It took about the right amount of time. It was exactly what I wanted to do. So I walked east on Birdsong, and then south, and then up Agate Street to Titleist Court, or Titleist Circle, around Titleist Circle, and back down to Agate, back down to Brook Lane, and back home. It was a perfect walk for me. A few days later, I decided to take that same walk again, and so once again, I walked east on Birdsong and south on 49th and east on Brook Lane and up to Agate, which turned around to the east and around Titleist Circle, and then suddenly I got back to the intersection of Titleist Circle and Agate, and I looked down Agate, downhill, and there was something wrong. Instead of curving off to the right like it was supposed to, it curved off to the left. It curved to the east. What had I done? How could it be that Agate was taking me the wrong direction? It was curving east, away from home, not west, toward home. How am I going to be able to explain to Anne that I got lost in my own neighborhood when I used to navigate airplanes around the Pacific Ocean? Feeling more than a little sheepish, I slowly began walking back down Agate, and I came to the other end of Titleist Court. And I thought, well, I must have gotten off of Titleist Court somehow. So I began walking back up Titleist Court. And it became clear to me very shortly that there was that same house that had the banister in the window. There's that same cat sitting there in that vacant lot. I've been here before. I must not have done something wrong. And so I continued around Titleist Court, back to Agate, and now I stand there for several minutes feeling lost. What in the world is going on? Surely the roads did not change from the time that I left home, from the time I walked the other day. And I thought, and I looked, and I wondered. And then suddenly I realized what was wrong. I was not lost. I was confused. You see, the first day that I walked was a bright and sunny day. And the sun was low in the east as it was coming up, and that kept me oriented in my directions. And so when I got back down to Agate Court, or Agate and Titleist Circle, I knew the sun was behind me. Agate was heading west. It turned left south, which was exactly where I needed to go. But this day was a cloudy day, and there was no sun to guide me. And so when I walked around Titleist Court, Titleist Circle, my direction changed. But it only changed 90 degrees when in fact it changed 180. In my mind, I only made a 90 degree change. In reality, I had gone back 180 degrees. So without the sun to keep me oriented in my directions, I got lost. I had in mind what should be there, and it wasn't. And I was left with a 90 degree error in my thinking. 90 degrees is from here to here. That's a pretty significant error. Even though I had no intention of getting lost, I had been led astray. That same thing can happen to our relationship with God. We don't intend to get lost. We don't intend to run away like Onesimus did. But in our forgetting who is in charge, in our lack of faith, in our moving away from God, we get lost. We get off of that narrow path. But when we realize what our mistake is, when we turn around like Onesimus did, we're able to get back home. And also like Onesimus, we are welcomed back home not as a servant. We're not punished for our mistakes, but God forgives us. As Philemon welcomed back Onesimus, God welcomes us back. Today is Grandparents' Day. What grandparent would not welcome back a wayward child or grandchild back to the family? And so it is with God. When we confess that we have broken the relationship, when we have confessed that we have run away from Him, that we have gotten ourselves lost, He welcomes us back as His children, and He makes us righteous. Because just as Paul was willing to pay Onesimus's death, Jesus has paid for our debt as well. That's the power of this short story, one of the shortest books in the Bible. It's a story about Philemon. It points us to Philemon and how he forgave his servant Onesimus. When we have a damaged relationship with God, He invites us to return again and again. And again and again, Christ has taken our debt on Himself, and we are forgiven. The obvious question at this point is, did Philemon actually accept Onesimus back? Did he do as Paul said? According to the Lutheranauer Daily Devotion for September 4th, there are traces in history of an early church leader named Onesimus, a bishop. If this is the same man, then it seems that Philemon did exactly what Paul had requested that he do. He did the impossible thing in those days and took a runaway slave back and brought him back not as a slave, but as a brother through the love of Jesus Christ. Today, Jesus invites us to return back to Him each and every day as well. Whether we run away or whether we simply get lost on our walk with Jesus, He's always there. He's always there to welcome you home as a grandparent welcomes the visit of a beloved grandchild. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.